It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now, or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile, and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, Michael is here. Peter is not. So super flyweight champ Billy Jacquelone is in the house.
Is that, does he even meet that qualification?
In the under 13 category.
Flyweight? Now, what, is featherweight lighter than flyweight?
I don't know.
Featherweight is lighter than flyweight, isn't it? Am I correct?
You're boxing, looking at me. I'm Googling it.
Aficionados.
Yeah, let's go
to
weight
class.
He's more
classes. Of a featherweight.
You're cruiserweight?
No. That's heavy. That's
flyweight.
Flyweight and featherweight. That's what we're looking for. Jacquelone, Benjamin Button. I think he's a featherweight. Isn't that Chocolatito? Who was it? Carbajal back in the day. Wasn't he a featherweight? The U.S. boxer?
Sure, yeah.
Michael Carbajal?
I remember him.
Yeah. Olympian.
Good dude.
Yeah. Can't believe I remember him.
What'd you say you weighed last time, Billy? 137?
That's correct, Bogus.
That would put you in the super lightweight or the junior welterweight, depending on how you want to call it.
137 would?
Yeah, 137.
What's a featherweight then?
Featherweight's 126.
And a flyweight?
Flyweight is 112.
Oh, flyweight is lighter than a featherweight.
People?
112.
Adults weigh 112 pounds?
Damn. Well, my grandma, man, she was about
4'10
on a good day. And... she probably weighed 100 pounds soaking wet and cursed like a sailor.
Right, but she was your grandma.
I understand.
She wasn't a full-grown fit man fighting in a ring at 112 pounds.
I know. Little bitty cats, man. And Jacquelone is not full-grown either. Still working on it, right? What, 21, 22?
28.
Damn.
Yeah, he's full-grown. This
is it.
Oh,
I told you it's Benjamin Button.
Yeah, this is it.
There it is. You're done, man. What's up, Bogus?
What's up, Brian Jones?
Friday!
You feeling okay today?
It's Friday.
It is
it's
Friday.
It's a freaking Friday. Huh?
What?
Yeah? We're going to live it right up on a Friday.
I had a big Thursday night.
Did you? What'd you do?
I saw Tom Petty last night.
Oh, cool.
Got a little sleep.
Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers?
And the Heartbreakers were there.
They break your heart?
They didn't. One of the backup singers might have thought about it, but...
she looked that good?
Yeah, he's got some pips, Tom Petty.
No,
you'd be okay with the suggestion that you had slept with one of them in the past.
You knuckleheads.
Yeah.
Where'd you see Tom Petty?
At Forest Hill Stadium in Queens, the original home of the U.S. Open, the West Side Tennis Club, has been renovated recently and into a very nice concert venue. Had a great time last night, and now I get to hang out with my best friend, Brian Jones.
Oh, wow. That's so cool, man. I'm sure Tom Petty and Heartbreakers treated you much better than I am going to treat you this morning. And what time is the concert over?
10. Very strict curfew at the West Side Tennis Stadium. 10 o'clock. Got to be off stage.
Really?
So he was at 9:54. He was done. Not even messing with that deadline.
Why is there a curfew for performers?
It's right in the middle of a neighborhood, a very fancy neighborhood, and people have some power and some cash, so they had to
noise,
make a bargain.
Ordinance.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
10 o'clock, you're done, dog.
You're out. That's it.
That's cool for them. Yeah, I guess. I mean, you get your money's worth? You feel like you
did? Yeah, it was very good
show. Was it Rush?
It was a very good show. It's their 40th anniversary tours, so they're playing all the hits.
Cool.
Yeah,
40 years. Wow. Mm, that's cool.
And I expected to be in the worst physical shape this morning of the two of us, but you don't feel well, so I got to be strong.
No. I got some rumbling going on in the gut area, and so I might have to dip in and dip out now and then.
The good news for you is we've built in some breaks for us.
Oh, cool.
Thinking ahead. Nick Saban was so good yesterday. 20 minutes of the Alabama head football coach.
He was great.
That we're going to close every hour today with like 10 minutes of Saban. So we're only working until 40 past the hour, and then we'll close each one. Saban part one, Saban part two, Saban part three.
We had a lot of time with Coach yesterday.
Yeah. Dan. And you actually can leave more early than normal today. So 8:40 instead of 8:54, you're out the door.
You liar.
We'll coast out with some Saban. Well, you will hear, just in this first hour, you'll hear about 10 minutes, the best 10 minutes of Nick Saban yesterday here on Gio and Jones. And, of course, the full interview, all like 23 minutes, is at gioandjones.com/audio. Does that sound right, Mike? It does. Okay, good. Also on the show this morning, Phil Savage, the Senior Bowl Executive Director, Crimson Tide color analyst, former NFL GM. I believe you can hear him as well, still over on Sirius XM NFL Radio and College Sports Nation. He joined us in hour number two.
He has a new book.
Does he?
Yeah, what's the name of the book, Mike? I have it, but I can't recall the title.
He doesn't want to promote it today. Don't worry about it.
Why doesn't he want to promote it?
Don't worry. Doesn't want to.
Wow. Okay.
All right. Never
good
mind.
Good thing I can't recall the title. Damn.
If I wrote a book, it would be part of every conversation.
Right.
By the way, I wrote a book. I don't know if you guys know that somebody published it and people bought it. I just, you know, let you know.
Well,
I wrote a book.
It's not out yet, but he was giving away copies at SEC Media Days, in which I got one.
Oh, good for him.
Signed copy, but I can't recall the title.
Must have
it's gonna be
to
good. That's the title. Football. It's gonna be good.
Dan O'Dowd, longtime MLB GM, now MLB Network's resident GM, will join us in hour number three. We are just a handful of days away from baseball's first more significant trade deadline. The Mets and Rays pulled off a deal yesterday. Lucas Duda going down to Tampa Bay. Sonny Gray is still in Oakland A. Yu Darvish dangling in Texas. So a lot to get to with Mr. O'Dowd again in hour number three. But let's begin with Odell Beckham Jr., who is at Giants training camp, first full practice today. And Beckham wasting no time on The Uninterrupted, saying, quick update on my contract status. Want to get paid not just the best wide receiver, but might as well go for the whole thing and be the highest paid player in the NFL. So here we go again on day one with Odell.
Well, I don't blame him. I'd say that too. Reach for the stars. Is that what they say? Reach for the moon, and if you don't get there, fall upon the stars. Somebody used to say that at in the one of their shows a while back. And so I have no problem with that, having that lofty goal. Is he one of the best wide receivers in the league? Yes, no doubt. He's one of the best wide receivers, one of the best return men, one of the best entertainers, all that. But I think the problem that he has is that the entertainment part sometimes borders on the ridiculous when he's going and proposing to the kicking net, when he's throwing tantrums on the sideline. If not for all those antics, he might be the highest paid wide receiver. But right now, he's still playing under his rookie contract. The young man is only 24 years old. I think he makes just a little under $2 million this year, but he's making all that cash and endorsements. That's what's so great. Great for you, man. About $10 million in endorsements. Damn, that's good. Good to be a gangster. And then next year, I think it rises up, the fifth year of his contract rises up to about 8 or 9, and still well below what the highest paid receiver, Antonio Brown, is making at this point, which is about $17 million. So I have no problem with the having that much confidence in your ability, because the ability has been showcased. We've seen it time and time again. And I'm tired of looking at that damn picture of him catching the ball versus my Cowboys. Dr. Carter, you need to take the picture down in your bathroom there at your office, because every time I go in there, I almost want to throw up. So he's proven that he's one of the best, but it's the other things that I imagine will keep him from getting that type of money, at least for the time being. The Giants definitely need to lock him up. I don't know of any other guy on their roster that can affect change in the manner in which he can.
Well, the issue I have with this is reality. I'm glad. I mean, I'm glad that he has the confidence in himself. He should. And you can want to be the highest paid player in the NFL, but you have to realize at some point that you're not going to be. Just by the definition of your position, you're not. Joe Flacco is making $24.55 million this year. That's the most on the books in the NFL for 2017. Everyone else around him is a quarterback. That's not Odell Beckham. That's not wide receiver money. It's just not feasible. So he can say it, but if that's actually their negotiating stance when they're talking to the Giants, they're going to be SOL. And the Giants apparently have written a relative blank check, is the way it was described yesterday, that this will get done. But it's not going to get done to the tune of $25 million. So he can have the goal of it, but he better be prepared that he's not going to come anywhere close to be in the highest paid player in the NFL.
I think they're aware of that. You know, I'd love for the Cowboys to call me up and say, hey, we want you to come out of retirement and play for you. But you know, dealing in reality, which I love to suspend from time to time, I know that's not going to happen. So I will not be in the Cowboys jersey with Jones on the back, at least not one in which I could participate in a game with. So fine, but we know all the time in negotiations, you go in at a high number, of course, the club is going to lowball you, and then you meet somewhere in the middle, right?
Yeah.
So you don't never get what you are worth. You get what you negotiate, and he's worth a hell of a lot. But I think the impediment here is the tantrums and all the shenanigans that go along with this hell of a football player.
Yeah.
And that being said, you're correct. Quarterbacks rule the roost in the NFL. They're going to make the most money. And so I would put Odell Beckham ahead of a lot of quarterbacks, you know, especially one that has a track record of 6-9, and yet he gets $15 million to go up to Chicago, Mike Glennon. So he should definitely be making Mike Glennon money, if nothing else, considering what he can do on the football field. So this is part of the strategy when you're in negotiations. You go high, they go low, you meet somewhere in the middle. The middle for him has to be, if they choose to tear up his deal, which has a year left on it after this season, if they choose to tear it up, he's got to be in that $15, $16 million range.
Yeah, I think Antonio Brown is the obvious comparison. As you said, he gets $17 million, so you start in that neighborhood and you end up right around there. Everybody's happy and you move on. And the Giants don't seem to be that worried with the way he behaves and acts on the field, off the field, because they're prepared to give him a lot of money, just not the max deal in the NFL. Now, Le'Veon Bell's, it's not a holdout. He did not report to camp yesterday because he has not signed the franchise tag tender, so he doesn't have to show up. But this pseudo holdout is my new favorite thing because it's on July 27th. Is that what yesterday's date was? It gave us already our first Mike Tomlinism of the brand new season.
Uh-oh.
6 minutes
we got into another one.
His introductory press conference.
Partial participant.
This is Coach Tomlin when asked if he's bothered by Bell not being around for the start of camp.
We're a group that values this team-building process and doing it in this setting. So, yes, there is value, and, yes, there are consequences for not being here. It's just the reality of it.
What are the consequences?
You know, they're untold as we sit here. They're untold.
That's my favorite part. They're untold as we sit here. Well, you could tell us.
Thank you.
Just let it go, Mike.
Yeah.
We're listening.
Let it flow, baby.
I'm waiting on you, bud.
What's we know it's untold. That's why we're asking you the questions.
They're untold.
Damn. Told us, please. Okay. He wants to keep us in suspense.
Yeah. Now, the problem for Mike Tomlin is there actually can't be consequences for Le'Veon Bell not being there. He's technically doing nothing wrong.
No.
So they can't punish him in any way.
Hasn't signed a tender.
Right.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
The only thing they could do is what the Panthers did to Josh Norman last year and rescind the tag and make him a free agent.
There you
but
go.
I can't see that happening.
That is not going to happen.
Now, what my concern would be, and this is an unofficial scientific declaration by me, but I feel like guys who are late to camp for whatever reason lead the NFL in pulled quads and hamstrings. You get a late start. That seems to be the first thing to go once you get back out there. And, you know, Coach Tomlin did before threatening these consequences was very complimentary of Le'Veon Bell keeping himself in shape, ready to go, not a concern. But this is, at least for me, this is almost bound to happen. He's going to show up at some point in July or August, and within the first 96 hours of running, something's going to hurt.
Why are you going to wish that on the man?
I'm not wishing it. It's science. It happens.
You speak it, then it happens, man. It's not going to happen, but it usually does happen. But I contradict myself.
It's not the first time.
We always talk about being in shape, and we know Le'Veon Bell is going to be in shape. This guy is taking care of his body. I always talk about the transformation his body is undertaken because it's been marvelous. If you look at the young man and his body type coming out of Michigan State when he was a second-round pick and compare that to what he looks like now or a couple years ago when he underwent this transformation, it's been marvelous. You're talking about someone who's just a totally different player now, so much quicker, lighter on his feet. He's dazzling on the football field, so much fun to watch. And so we know he's going to be in great shape, but football shape, that's a big difference, and it's hard to illustrate that unless you've gone through it. You can run all day and do all that stuff and lift all the weights you want to lift and be strong as an ox, but can you absorb those hits? Can you get out there and make cuts when people are chasing you? And are you able to elude defenders when you're making those football moves? That's when you know you're in football shape. So it's a big difference from just being able to run 40 or 50 sprints and not be winded and then get out there and when you got people chasing you. That's a whole different being in shape. That's why we always talk about the game speed. Guy may not run a great 40 time at the combine or his pro day, but what does he do when he puts those pads on and you got all those big old ugly dudes chasing you?
Yeah, that was always my problem. I tested really well.
Oh, you tested? Oh,
yeah, you
okay.
Put me on the field around other people who were bigger than me.
I could probably be a partial participant.
Yeah,
you're a partial participant.
Dude, that would have been a good day. I didn't even have the you-know-what to be partial. I'm out.
I was the opposite. Ain't practice. Didn't do anything in practice. It's like, gang, okay, let's go now.
Am I supposed to be at the combine?
Right. What time is it, dog? Damn. We missed our slot.
I feel like I was supposed to do a three-cone drill. Is that a thing?
Yeah, what is that? I've never known that to help during an actual game, but apparently it holds a lot of weight.
You've never shimmied right, shimmied left, shimmied back, and then hit somebody?
No. I've shimmied a little bit, but no, not that much.
Partial participant?
Yeah, that was my combine mantra. I'm going to be a partial participant here, and I pay for it. But there's something to be said about that game speed and once again, absorbing those hits and just taking all that stuff. People hanging on your body. It's just a different type of feeling. It's a different sensation you feel. The pain that you may receive from working out and pushing yourself in your OTAs and things of that nature. That's one dynamic. And then you transition to people falling on top of you, although I'm sure they take care of Le'Veon Bell in practice just like they would the quarterbacks and those guys you don't want to be too physical with. In your practices, still. You got to get in football shape.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Getting rolling on a Freaky Friday here on Gio and Jones Bogus and for Gio alongside.
Freaky Friday, work, yoga, and Prosecco.
Is that your second book title?
Today it is. Yeah. I'm going to be a full participant.
Still to come this morning, the Cavs can't find Kyrie Irving. Steph Marbury goes to bat for Derrick Rose. Rob Pelinka is at it again. And does John Gruden want to coach in the NFL one more time? Plus Phil Savage, Dan O'Dowd, and more from Nick Saban if you missed it yesterday. All right here on Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio. Bogus in for Gio alongside Brian Jones. It's Gio and Jones. Here on CBS Sports Radio, Phil Savage, Dan O'Dowd. Later in the show, Nick Saban, 11 minutes and 47 seconds of the best of Nick Saban from yesterday here on the program for you in just a second. But replacing me today while I fill in for Greg is Brian's favorite update anchor, Yankee fan extraordinaire.
That's my dog.
Marco Belletti.
Don't be jealous, Fredo.
Thank you.
It's fair. Was it that obvious?
Marco and I shared some great moments back in the day, so we will forever be intertwined, let's say. Yeah. Right?
Absolutely. We'll save the Yankee stuff, though, Brian.
Okay,
We got it. We'll get to John Sterling. I'll get that for us.
Cool.
Just a quick update, though. Garrett Cooper's not Will Clark. Or anything like that, so slow down.
We don't know that.
Yeah. Don't hate.
Feel safe making that assumption.
All right. I don't know if you guys saw this. Nationals kind of put on a show yesterday. Woo!
Ryan Zimmerman swings and launches one to deep left center field. This one's way back. Is it high enough? It is. It's a home run. They've hit four home runs in a row, and that's a new Nationals record.
All right, four straight, five in the third inning alone. That tied Major League records. Both of them did. They hit eight homers in all. Ryan Zimmerman and Bryce Harper each had two. They rout the Brewers 15-2, sends Milwaukee to their ninth loss in 11 games. Shine coming off that rose a little bit. Dave Jagler with a call on the Nationals radio network. You couple that with the Cubs bouncing the White Sox 6-3, and Chicago is back in front by a game and a half in the Central. Kyle Schwarber went deep twice, and that one he knocked in four. Padres handle the Mets 7-5. D-backs got a big swing from their newest piece.
The pitch, and a drive into right field. Deep. That ball's got a chance to go, and it is a grand slam off the bat of J.D. Martinez in a 4-0 Diamondback lead.
All right, J.D. Martinez provided the only runs of the game. Diamondbacks 4-0 over the Cardinals. That was Greg Schulte with the call on the D-backs radio network. The Marlins top the Reds 4-1. Indians win streak is 7. They slip by the Angels 2-1. Blue Jays escape the A's 8-4-10. That was a Steve Pierce walk-off grand slam. But here you go, Brian. Not the only walk-off.
Nope.
There goes the deep right. It is high. It is far. It is gone. It's a walk-off. Brett Gardner has a walk-off home run in the bottom of the 11th. It's a Gardy party. He plants one in the right field seats.
There's more bogus.
Gardy goes yardy.
Oh,
and the Yankees win the ball game 6-5.
We went with the extended version. Kind of pull that out a little
goes
bit.
Goes yardy. And first of all, he lied. It wasn't high. It was a line drive, but it got over the fence. That's all that matters.
Everything over the fence is high and far. All of them.
Gardy goes yardy. Wow.
So the Yankees win their fourth straight. They outlast the Rays 6-5-11. Of course, John Sterling, the call. Yankees radio network. They have won four in a row, 6 out of 7. The only downside, did you see this in the celebration? Aaron Judge chipped a tooth.
Yeah.
Took a helmet to the chin.
Yeah.
Everybody says he's fine. Big man, you know, 6'7", 290. I don't think a chipped tooth is going to slow him down at all. All right, never-ending John Gruden story is continuing. New legs now, Gruden saying in a Pewter Report article.
He continues to Who?
Pewter.
Pewter Report.
Pewter. Oh, yes. Pewter Report.
Pewter. Pewter.
Pewter.
He continues to prepare like he's going to coach again. He did seem to close the door on coaching in college, kind of talked to, you know, tongue-in-cheek, saying he would get you in trouble within about 6 minutes because he likes to work and there's not enough work going on the college game. But
what?
He did open the door and kind of let it be known that coaching could be in his future because he's still waking up at 4 a.m. to watch tape. So we had 9 years of no Gruden. It's back again. Gruden kind of thrown himself into the mix again. Meanwhile, Odell Beckham Jr., not shy about wanting to get paid.
And I've gotten to the point in my life where, like, nah, I'm going to... There's no need to not talk about it. I believe that I will be hopefully not just the highest paid receiver in the league, but the highest paid, period.
Okay, that's on a video on Uninterrupted.
Is he playing the piano himself for the dramatic
What are we
music?
Doing? There's no need to not talk. Are we serious? You want to get paid, you want to get paid, but like, do we need this? It felt like a Kardashian. Like, what are we doing?
yeah, what's up with the music?
Once upon a time.
Beckham can't stay out of it, and he keeps going. Le'Veon Bell, no show at Steelers camp, no surprise. He's not signed his tender yet. No long-term deal, $12.1 million if he plays it out. Ravens got another quarterback at camp to help out with Joe Flacco being hurt. Signed an arena leaguer, David Olsen, and the Warriors re-upped.
Wait, hold on. It's the Champions Indoor Football League. Let's give credit where credit's due to the KC Phantoms.
Not
even in a fancy arena league.
That's not an arena league, no?
I mean, it is. It's not the arena league, though.
But it's in an arena.
Yeah.
Indoors, right?
It's a lower arena league.
Yeah. Oh.
Really?
Yeah. So
I got to tell you, I missed that.
Yeah.
Single A.
I didn't realize there was more arena leagues. Yeah. I only knew of one.
No. This is not. This is a whole other thing.
Got to tell you that the draw for that's got to be tremendous then.
I feel like this.
It's not like the lingerie league.
No, it's not.
I think more people come to that. Just a hunch.
But yeah, congrats to David Olsen.
Yeah. So he has a job for about a week. And the Warriors, JaVale McGee is back. Re-upped on one-year deal.
Cool.
Yeah.
Shaq to the fool.
Don't care.
They don't care about that?
No, you.
Who, about like, oh, JaVale McGee? I do care. All
right. So 15 guy, players now for the Warriors. They're at their max now.
Yeah, the guy balled this past season. He's taken all that flack from Shaq, and he balled. Come on. Even though he didn't get that much run in the finals, he made a name for himself. He's back. No?
You don't see a lot of Swaggy P to Miguel to McGee? That's going to be fun.
I'm looking now at the Champions Indoor Football League website, gocif.net, to see
it's
what the other...
.net.
.net, yeah. Wow. Because Mr. Olsen came from the Kansas City Phantoms.
Mm-hmm.
There's also... This is the Bismarck Bucks, the West Michigan Ironmen, the Centex Cavalry. They're from Belton, Texas.
Oh, Belton. Sweet.
The Wichita Force, the Sioux City Bandits, the Texas Revolution. They play from, Allen, Texas. Excuse me.
Oh, Allen, up by Dallas.
The Salina Liberty, the Omaha Beef, the Duke Beef. City Gladiators, hailing from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Hmm. The Dallas Marshals, the Bloomington Edge, and the Amarillo Venom.
Amarillo Venom.
Mm-hmm.
Amarillo by morning.
That sounds like a lot of teams.
That's quite a few in Texas. Was that three or four in Texas?
Well, it's the CIF is the baby of the marriage of a previous league and the Lone Star Football League. They came together to create the beautiful baby that is the Champions Indoor Football League. So that's why there's a lot of Texas. The Lone Star Football League, regardless of Texas.
Gotcha.
In there. Yeah.
A lot that's of impressive. Babies being made.
That's impressive.
Football babies in Texas. Go figure. Yeah.
So we've already discussed Le'Veon Bell being not at Steeler training camp. Antonio Brown is there and wanted to make sure every single person in the world saw him arrive in a top-down Rolls Royce.
Yeah, 1931.
By a dude.
Rolls Royce, valued about $220,000. Mm-hmm. Dropping the bucket.
My weekend car.
There you go. Yeah, he had him a nice little driver.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get the door, Benson.
Do you want to know the thing I was most intrigued by in the entire thing?
Go for it.
His hair.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What was up with the hair?
He's got...
Oh, yeah, he had that little thing sticking up.
Well, he had his,
He had the braids.
But, yeah,
and then he had, alfalfa.
The braids were all, train tracks all over his head, and they all met at the top into a little bun. I've never seen that before.
Yeah.
And
he was mean mugging.
Was he?
Yeah.
I just spent way too much time thinking about how long it took that to get done.
Well, it's not like he has a ton of hair. But I'm going to say maybe a couple hours.
Yeah, which is ridiculous to me.
To sit there for a couple hours?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then, to have the skill of the barber to sit there and do that and have it look nice and legitimate and straight and correct geometry.
Well, there are people who, that's their expertise.
I know.
I've at one time, had cornrows, and the lady I... use was damn good.
Yeah, it's just an impressive thing to me.
Yeah, it's very impressive. But the 1931 Rolls Royce, cool.
You can have the car. I want the hair.
Can have the hair. I've been there, done that. I'm done with that. The part that bothers me, though, is comments about his teammate. You never involve yourself in someone else's money. And here he is talking about Le'Veon Bell and to do something special. We need everyone here. Well, you got your cake, baby.
Right.
And I don't recall Le'Veon Bell voicing any concern with you negotiating with the Steelers. And now Le'Veon Bell, who is just as important to this offense as you are, he's trying to get his. And yet you're involving yourself in another one's business affairs with the club. That's something you usually don't see.
Yeah.
He is definitely out of bounds as far as this is concerned. So he should stay out unless he wants to share some of the millions he just re-signed for with Le'Veon Bell.
Right, yeah. Usually we're the ones on the outside freaking out about holdouts and contract negotiations and whatnot because the players usually stay quiet because everyone knows it's about business and it's going to be my turn soon to do this.
Especially when you just got yours.
Right, you're getting $17 mil a year.
You're laughing all the way to the bank.
Right.
Dude,
driving can I get Rolls mine? Royces.
Right, yeah. And
Bell's taking the bus. That's why he wants a new deal. Nick Saban was on this show yesterday. Went through a lot with the boys. Alabama football, the future, kind of the college football playoff, and whether or not he's actually devoid of personality. He's not. And that conversation, at least 12 minutes of it, is next right here on Gio and Jones.
Keep up with the latest on the show on Twitter at Gio and Jones.
Bogish, Jones, and Mikey B, and Billy Jockalone. No Greg, no Pete. Pete will be back on Monday. Greg's back on Tuesday. So you get a...
What the hell is the alien?
Rapping. Pete saw Jerry Seinfeld last night with the lady friend.
Mm-hmm.
Late
and
start.
He laughed so much that couldn't get up.
I think the show didn't start apparently until 9:30, so Pete wasn't going to get home in time, and he needs his beauty sleep, so no
Enough
Pete
said.
Today. Exactly. Pete was here yesterday for Nick Saban. In case you missed or want to hear more of it, here is a compilation, the best 11 minutes of a fascinating conversation with the Alabama head football coach here yesterday on Gio and Jones. It begins with the obvious. Last year, disappointing, heartbreaking, you picked the word, to describe the national title game loss to Clemson. So how in the world do you move on from that?
Well, I don't know that you ever get over it. I think that, you know, it was an opportunity lost, and the only way that you can look at it is you have to move ahead, look forward. You've heard me say before, don't waste the failure. Sort of try to figure out, you know, what you could have done better, how you can improve on it, whether it was how you prepared for the game, how you finished the game. Things you did well, things you did poorly, and what you need to correct. And hopefully psychologically it affects everybody in the organization, makes them a little hungrier in terms of what they want to do in the off season and how they approach this season and the challenges this year's team have.
And Coach, along those lines, anytime there's an excruciating loss, whether it's a blowout or it's a close one like that in the ultimate championship game, usually you don't want to see that film. But will you go back and splice it up and show it to particular guys and coach them as far as particular situations that could arise again?
Well, we do that in every game, win or lose. I mean, you know, we're constantly trying to make our team better. So it's not about whether you lost the game, whether you lost on the last play, whether you lost it by a lot, or whether you won it close or won it by a lot. You know, we're always going to do quality control on the things that we did well, the things we did poorly, the things we need to do better, critical errors that we made in the game, strategic planning errors we made as coaches that would have helped us play better. So, you know, the next time we play that team or something similar to that, maybe we'll do a little better. So that's just a part of it. So we always do that. I think the psychological part of it is, you know, when you win games like that, like we did the year before, you get a little more complacent. You're not as willing to make the changes you need to make to actually improve. You know, everybody's got to be able to be self-critical if you're going to improve, and everybody's got to be able to take constructive criticism so you can improve. And in an organization like this, I don't care what we did, how many games we won, we're always trying to improve each individual player and our team.
Talking to Nick Saban on Gio and Jones, CBS Sports Radio, what do you think it's like to work for you?
Look, I always try to be fair and honest with everybody in our organization, but I don't apologize for being demanding, you know, to doing things the right way and to the standard and that we need them to be done. And, you know, sometimes people get a little, I don't know, offended or whatever if they get confronted when they're not doing what they're supposed to do. But I don't know how else you do it. You do that with players, so you have to do it with everybody in the organization, and everybody's got to understand that and expect it. And it's not personal. It's just this is the way we do it here, and this is how it needs to get done. And I personally, you know, when I worked for Bill Belichick, that's how he did it. You know, he defined the expectation and the standard, and you had to be responsible and accountable to it. And that's kind of how we do it. But I actually like that because you always knew exactly what was expected, and you always knew exactly what would happen if you didn't do it the right way. So, you know, I can't speak for everybody that works for me, but just from a leadership perspective, that's what I try to do, and I think a lot of people get it. Maybe there's a few that don't.
Yeah, there's been a few.
Coach, your approach, is it a direct result of how you were coached as a player?
Well, yeah, I think everything that I do, I basically learned someplace else from somebody else. And I had some really good mentors through the years, and started with my college coach, Don James, who was very much like I just spoke. I mean, he was, you know, well-organized, defined the expectation. Everybody had to be accountable to it. Players, coaches, it didn't matter. And he's very well organized and was a very successful coach. And so when I started out in this business, that's how I thought it should be. And I realized as I grew up in the profession, it wasn't always that way everywhere. So, but I said if I ever got the opportunity, that's how I'd kind of make it. So, and you don't have to be disrespectful to people when you do what I just said, but there's some people that are afraid to ever tell someone. No one should be offended. If everybody's goal is to be the best, to win, and get everybody in the organization being the best version of themselves, then everybody should want to do what they have to do to be able to do that. They shouldn't be offended if they're corrected. You know, I've told coaches before, you know, if I correct them, they get all upset, but, you know, they dog cuss their players like it's nothing. And I'm saying, I don't think you could play for yourself.
Could you play for you?
Yeah, I could play for me.
You mentioned Belichick before. Have you ever seen this guy happier? He was in Nantucket Magazine sitting in a field with Linda smiling and modeling. I mean, I think this guy found his happy place.
Well, I don't think that look, I don't think Bill's been unhappy in his life. if you know him well and you know him behind the scenes, I think sometimes the image you project to the public for probably strategic reasons may be a little bit different than, you know, the person inside. So, you know, I've never ever known Bill or been concerned about Bill being unhappy. I think he's very serious about what he does, and he's pretty intense about trying to get it the way he wants it. And he's been real successful at doing that. Now, I don't see anything wrong with that. Now, the image sometimes that it projects, you know, leads people like you all to think that, you know, the guy's some kind of Tittle the Hun or something. But he isn't like that at all. But anyway, I'm not really like you all think either. So,
well, who is the Nick Saban that we don't know then?
Well, I mean, you have to come and find out.
Okay, how much time will we have with you if we come and find out?
Well, just a little bit.
I saw my man Marcus Spears, your former player there at LSU, who's driving you around. Seemed like you guys were having a good time. So can we come and drive you around and get to know you a little better?
Well, see, that's somebody who knows me.
Right.
All right, and people who know me and play for me and all that are a little different in terms of how their perspective than other folks. So, you know, but anyway, it is what it is. You know, your blind spot is kind of how you perceive yourself relative to what everybody else perceives you. So, you know, and my wife tells me mine's as big as the Grand Canyon. So I got it. I get it.
I got the feeling that you don't give a damn, though.
I care about what she thinks, but I wouldn't want. Yeah, but
I mean the rest of us. Yeah, her, of course.
Well, I try to treat people right and respect them, and you know, I just I don't spend a lot of time worrying about what everybody else thinks. If I think I'm doing the right thing and being fair and honest, maybe they just don't understand.
Did it take you a while to get to that point as well, or has that been something you've been good at, not really caring about the perception or what people think of you?
No, I think it takes a while. I think, you know, when you get criticized fairly and unfairly, you know, eventually you sort of sift through and don't really listen or read much about the good things, and you don't really listen or get affected much about the bad things. And because really, as a leader in an organization, you can't be affected by those things to make decisions that may not be the best for your organization, but you're emotionally affected by what somebody else thinks or says. So that's a dangerous place to get.
You know, Brian was invited to one of the college football playoff committee meetings. Is there any message you want him to relay on your behalf while he's there?
No, not really. I need to get in some political turmoil here.
Oh, Bill Hancock, he's a good friend of the show. No political rancoring or anything like that, Coach.
No, he does a great job. He does a good job, and the system has created a lot of interest, so it's all good.
Okay, well, let's follow up on what you proposed, and everyone's all up in arms about it. It's a bridge too far. I actually like the fact that you want Power 5 teams playing Power 5 teams, but the rub is, and I always say this, Coach, about big-time college sports, whether it's football or basketball, if you're looking for that socialism that you hear on the political scene, look no further than big-time college football or basketball, because that's where it lives, and those programs, the lesser programs that usually subsidize their programs by playing big iconic brands like yours, they will be hurt if we go to this model that you're proposing. Are you at all concerned with that?
Well, I think that it would actually give us a better opportunity to determine who the best teams were, because it'd be more like intersectional type games. So it's really hard to determine the competitive balance between one conference and another. And the assumption is they're all the same. And that's probably not exactly right. Strength of schedule has huge deviation in college football, you know, right now. And I don't know how you can sort of calibrate that effectively and correctly. So, I'm an old NFL guy. So, and I'm talking about for the fans, for the people in the program, I think you could get in the playoffs, and just because you lose one game doesn't mean you would be out of it. Sort of like the NFL, the Giants lost six games a few years ago and won the Super Bowl. So, you play better competition all the time. I think players would be more interested. Look, it's not worth talking about because nobody's ever going to do it.
So. Well, don't give up just yet. I'm with you. I'll get out there and promote it with you.
And then Coach hung up. You offered to help.
That's usually what happens.
I'm out.
When I offer to help, which is good. I don't have to help then.
The full,
less on my plate.
The full 20 minutes with Coach Saban at geoandjones.com/audio. I'm really...
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
All kidding aside, kudos to the two of you guys for making Coach sound more, every time I say it, it sounds mean, more human than normal. I've given him and Bill Belichick and other guys, it bothers me the way they behave sometimes. I just don't get leaving emotion out of this and being cold and condescending and dismissive. It's clearly works, but it's just not the way I would do things if I was in their positions.
Well,
it's good to hear them being regular people sometimes.
In defense of Coach Saban, I've heard him say, I understand the role that media plays in the grand scheme of things, but that doesn't mean they have to enjoy their interaction with the press all the time, or show up and with alacrity answer questions from those in our profession. So it's part of the gig. They understand that, and they do it in their manner, and it works for them.
Where in the world is Kyrie Irving? He sang that he was going home. He might be home, but the Cavs have no idea where their current guard is. That's how we begin hour two, Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of DashPass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that.
Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.